Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight I have Tony Newman, the author of I Rise. I Rise is the true story of Tony Newman's transformation from an internally conflicted male to a proud, preoperative transsexual. Born the eldest son into a strict Christian family, Tony admits knowing from her earliest days that she was a different bird born in the wrong body. With laser-guided sincerity, curiosity, and above all, humor, it's really a funny book, and compassion, Tony tells her story of being a sissy boy, a scholarship student, a business professional, an escort, a drag queen, a New York prostitute, an L.A. dominatrix, and finally a transsexual attending law school in order to help her transsexual sisters in need. Welcome, Tony Newman. How you doing, girl?
Thank you for having me. This is Tony, and I'm
you.
Glad. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to everyone out there too. It's so exciting. Listen, I have never the first woman, transgender African American woman to write her memoir. How did that take till 2011 to do? Why did it take so long?
I want to say one thing about that. I was notified by a transgender that a woman in 1986 wrote some sort of sex reassignment book.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a memoir, but it was a 51-page booklet. And so I'm going to say the first African-American transgender to write a memoir turned into a screenplay.
I said memoir. Okay, that's right. You can be a screenplay.
Okay. That is correct. She corrected that I was not the first book. I can't find the book. Neither can my editor. But
uh-huh.
I just wanted to not say the first book.
All right.
To
details,
upset anyone.
Details. All right. We got a lot to talk
years ago.
About.
So. First memoir, yes.
Okay. But, I mean, you've done it all. I mean, how do you find time to even breathe? I mean, I'm serious.
I've been a busy girl.
You have been. I mean, you've done it all. We talked a little bit earlier during the warm-up about how you got here. But could you – you started out in North Carolina. Is that where you're from, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Camp Lejeune Marine Corps Base. Those were the boys I started servicing early on as my first experiences. From male to male, and they were Marines and in uniform. So that's where Jacksonville, North Carolina is, the Marine Corps base. They broke me in wonderfully.
I'm sure. Okay, I'm sure they did, or you broke them in. Remember, it's a two-way street.
Yes, I hopefully I broke them in, too.
Okay, tell us what it was like. Is that where you came out to your family, or you came out, or did you keep everything secret when you were in North Carolina?
I was all secret up until I went to college at Wake Forest on scholarship.
Okay,
I was a sophomore in college when I let the family know I was gay, a.k.a. homosexual. That's the first step of most transgenders. They come out as gay and or lesbian, and then you proceed from there. So I was almost 20 years old when I came out in a sophomore in college when I notified my two brothers, sister, mom, and dad. But they knew it. I mean, I was effeminate. It wasn't like, oh, my God, what you are? I mean, it was obvious. It was what it was. But
right.
I confessed it and admitted it, what they already had suspected. They weren't surprised. So it wasn't like, oh, my God.
Okay.
You know, they kind of went with the flow. And it was kind of, you know, tough, but okay.
For an African-American family, that's pretty good.
You know, they were good people. The gay thing, they could deal with. It was the transgender thing 10 years later that broke the camel's back and the communication, and pretty much the love just fell apart.
What happened during that 10-year period? You said you came out gay. You were about as a gay man. You said you were a gay man at the time. And
at 20 years old, I graduated from Wake Forest with a BA at 22, and then I worked for AT&T as a business exec for 2 or 3 years, and then I went to work for another business system for 2 years, and the remaining 5 years I worked as a supervisor and assistant to the dean at a community college in North Carolina as an educator. So I did some business for the first 5 years, and then I was in education for those last 5 years.
And in this period of time, this is when you realized you were a woman trapped in a man's body.
Cross-dressing nightly, going to work as a guy at night in the wig, makeup, stockings, heels. take it off, go back to work at the business company, or go back to the school in the administrative capacity. So I was cross-dressing 4, 5, 6 nights a week out of the 7 days a week, cross-dressing for almost 9 years. I didn't take any hormones during that time, but I cross-dressed and cross-dressed. I knew I wanted to do it, but I was just so afraid, Nate. Nobody, when I mentioned it, would support me on that. They're like, you want to do what? You should say, it's cross-dress. Nobody really wanted me to go that extra step and start taking hormones to become man to woman.
Yeah. Let's talk about support for a while. What year was that? What years are we talking about here when you did this?
Cross-dressing from 1986 to 1995, 96. I was cross-dressing, working, making good money as a professional. It was obvious I was gay. I announced to everyone who knew me I was gay. No big deal. I was hired as a gay man at the university and as the business exec. It was when I started to whisper to my gay friends and my colleagues and my associates, I'm going to take it a little bit further. Yeah. And none of those three categories, whether they were straight or gay, black or white, nobody could do it. Nobody said, if that's what you want to do, do it. Everyone said, it's going to be the biggest mistake of your life.
You're kidding. And let's talk about
all
support.
The transgenders I know are street prostitutes. They're homeless.
Right.
You got a bad road ahead of you. This was my gay friends who had been my supporters as a cross-dresser for 10 years.
Well, let's talk
no
about
one supported
support.
Me. No one supported me.
Yeah, well, when you started out, there wasn't this thing called the Internet where, you know.
No, it was not, you know, and you know, there was no places to go like it is now, and you can look up doctors for sexual reassignment surgery. I did all of my stuff on the street from another transgender who we called the doctor. She could have been putting anything in my body, which we just seen another girl putting some sealant in a girl's body. You
that's
just
right
never
here,
know.
Down here.
I mean,
that's down here in Florida,
I did get silicone, thank God, but this girl didn't give me something to kill me. But it was a very dangerous time. I was living on the street, working on the street, and getting and put with drugs from an unlicensed doctor who took my money to build my body. So, you know, I'm just lucky to be here.
You are lucky to be. And let's talk about life on the streets. I'm a gay man. I've been out forever and ever. I go to the clubs. I see transsexuals. I see transgender people there at night for a few hours. We love and we hug them. We say hello to them, but we don't see them during the day. Where do they go? What happens to a transgender man or woman?
I can only speak from the African American and Latino point of view. Those are the ones I've lived with, and I'm African American myself. They are sex workers. All my friends from that time up until now, except maybe three of them that I've known for 14 years, are still in sex trade and or debt.
Correct.
Most of them don't have a job. You don't see them at your Starbucks, at your Bank of America, at your Kmart, at your wrapping Christmas gifts. You never see them. Most of them are in their homes during the day, hustling, trying to survive. And afraid really to step out because of the discrimination and the negative comments and the way some of the jobs would treat you. It was hard to get a job. I tried with a degree to get a job in New York in 1998. Had a degree, had worked 10 years, but I didn't look acceptable. And people told me, you look a mess.
Right.
You look like a man in a wig. Well, I'm just starting out.
Right.
I mean, well, it can't happen overnight. I mean, I can't grow titties and get a female body in 30 days. it was hard to get a job, and most of them don't have degrees to even go to apply for a job.
You were way ahead of the game. Yeah, you were way ahead of the game.
I was ahead, educated with 10 years experience, almost a master's degree completed, and could not get a job in New York in 1996, 7, or 8. I applied to over 50 jobs that I wasn't even overqualified for. Serving coffee, busting tables, being in the back. And they said, we'll call you. Nobody called me back. Nobody.
Damn. Well, let's talk about the ones that term homeless. I mean, you were fortunate enough to have some sort of an income or some sort of a way of getting by. let's talk about the homeless transgender. What happens to them in the shelter?
Well, let's not forget that on that first winter, after I'd run through all my money saved, giving this girl $100 a week to keep me full of female hormones, I then ran out of money. And during the winter of 99, I was homeless myself for almost November through March.
Oh, my God. So what happened to you then?
I lived on the street, in Central Park, on the heaters, in the cage where the homeless people go. So I'm familiar with what it is to have no money, not addicted on drugs or alcohol. I wasn't addicted. Never been addicted to drugs or alcohol.
Good
and most
you.
Of my sisters do get addicted due to depression and rejection. They run to that to get love. So it's difficult.
Right.
So I was homeless for 6 months. So and I know how it is to be homeless. And you're asking people on the street, can you give me a dollar?
Right. And it's horrible.
I've done that.
It's just horrible. And in general, this is a little factoid I'm sending out to the listeners. 25% of all homeless teenagers have a sexual gender identity problem. Either they're transgender, they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, been thrown out of their home, been thrown out of
rejected.
Went away from home. Yeah.
That's absolutely true, Nate. 100%.
One out of four of every homeless person you see has had a gender identity problem. So this is not a hidden problem. I mean, unless you're living in you know, Western Kansas, you have seen homeless people. And this is a I'm fortunately or fortunately live in South Florida, and you mentioned the person that was putting super glue in people, but we also have a problem down here with we're the highest rate of murder and homicide of homeless people. It's almost highest in the country. It's almost a sport.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Two or three a year. We do have a lot of homeless people here because the weather makes it very easy to live on the street.
So it's Los Angeles. I don't know the exact percentages. I do go out to the soup kitchen sometime and help, but it's a high percentage here at the beach due to the semi-warm weather this time of year where it's cold in the east. Is that true?
Right. And the other thing is we do have a lot of people on vacation, tourists, things like that. And there's actually a lot more food thrown away here than anywhere else in the country because we have so many tourists. Yeah, so the dumpsters are all filled with, you know, because people don't eat as much, you know, so and they throw away stuff when they, you know, they're here for a week and they get food in their hotel room and they don't know what to do with it, so they throw it out of the dumpster. So it really, you know, you've got a lot of people that are transient. We have a lot of hotel space. It's unlike Los Angeles. We're totally tourist. There isn't much industry here. There's not an industry here other than the tourism business. So it's a tough. Yeah, so that kind of feeds in a very bad way the homeless situation. But we have a terrible drug and alcohol problem in our young community as well. All right, I'm going to go to your most gossipy part of your life. It's a very small part of your life, but it's the part that everyone wants to hear. Okay.
Go there. Okay.
All right. In your book, you out some well-known African American entertainers. Just take it from there. Tell us about how that happened.
On many occasions, I never had an encounter with, but know six of my good friends who were involved on a pay-to-play basis with Eddie Murphy. Back during the days I was a streetwalker, he was a frequent visitor down on the village on 9th Avenue, called the Meatpacking District during those days. It's where we went, where they were slopping meat at night, getting ready to ship it out that morning. We were out prostituting from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., 6 a.m. every morning. He was one of the guys that I saw and my roommate many occasions were entertained by him and paid by him, and he was quite generous. I've never said I had an encounter with Eddie, but then he, during that same period, had got picked up a year earlier with a young lady in California while he was shooting a movie. He got picked up, and then I saw him that same year in 98 and 99, I think, out on the street.
Now, he knew that he was picking up transgender women. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't. He wasn't like, ooh, surprise, surprise.
It's like he was told when he picked the girl up. I knew her before. A year later, she died.
Uh-huh.
He knew she was because she said, "It's $50. Do you want to give or receive?
Okay.
Do
all
you
right.
want me to blow you or whatever the case may be?" So,
right. so
he
so
knew
he
what he picked then, and he knew what he picked up in New York as well. That's
okay.
all that was out in that area during that time. There were no women on my block. You knew
well,
what block it was. It was all
okay.
queens and transgenders.
Okay. So who else?
I had an encounter, one-time encounter with LL Cool J during Ooh. That period and was picked up, paid, and, you know,
okay.
nice guy, paid me. Never seen him again. We've never spoke in over a
uh-huh.
decade again. Since that time, I've got emails saying he has been a busy boy from other queens and boys
yeah.
and whoever. They've
right.
got over 50 emails saying they know him and all of that. So I don't think he stopped, but I don't have proof of that. But
right.
I only had a one-time encounter with him, and it was pleasurable.
Uh-huh.
He was one of the more famous dates I had besides the DJ, who
uh-huh.
was real popular in New York to work with Biggie, Mr. C.
Okay, Mr.
I had
C,
him
yeah.
on many occasions as well. And he got arrested 3 times for picking up transgenders
Correct.
And getting blowjobs. So
yeah.
Oops, he's sorry. Been called 3 times by the police for doing the exact same thing I said
yeah.
I did to him myself.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of weird that there's so much of this going on, and people know you're going to get picked up. You can get picked up, obviously, with prostitution.
On the street,
or,
right.
On the
now,
street, right.
Then we
That's
eventually moved to the Internet, and then
right.
they come to the house, a lot more
right.
private. That's
you're
a
safe.
Different story. But on the street, you're in the alley, the lights are off, but the engine is running, the car is running, but there's no lights on. Cops could drive by like, do you see the car running, no lights on? Pull back.
Right.
Oh, you've been caught.
Right,
you know, you just
right.
start pulling your clothes up, not to get caught, but it's a little too late.
Yeah, yeah, they've already seen you. They already saw the hot
breath. Your drawers
are
down,
on the...
your bra is off.
Jesus, yeah. Sounds like. I mean, it sounds like an absolutely, I mean, it sounds a little exciting, but it sounds like a pretty horrible life.
You know, now that I look back on it, you know there was camaraderie out there. Even, I mean, we were dysfunctional. We had nowhere to go, but we were like a family
uh-huh.
Out there. You know, and we, you know, we did the best to stand by each other. We were all trying to make our own money, so we were competing against each other. You wanted
uh-huh.
that $50 over
yeah.
her, but it was
right.
it was the only family during those 4 or 5, those 3 years I was on the street, 3.5 as a street prostitute. I had,
mm-hmm.
I had no more friends to call. I had no more Christmas people to spend Christmas with. They were it. They were my family.
Right.
Like it or not, we were all in the same boat.
You're right.
With no contact with our family. So we were on our own. And that was kind of exciting because at least I had somebody. Even though she may not have been the most positive person, I
uh-huh.
had somebody who was concerned about my well-being.
Besides
that, I would have had nothing. I would have had nobody. If I didn't have them, I'd have been all alone for those 4 years. I mean, completely.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever hurt? Did you ever have any negative?
I had one encounter of a guy trying to physically accost me, but he was high and a little drunk, and
uh-huh.
I overcame him. I was a pretty smart, as you can say, street prostitute.
Uh-huh.
If,
okay. Just...
If it looked wrong, if it sounded bad, I didn't get in the car.
Okay.
I never put my life over $50 or $60.
Right, whatever
it was. And
some
girls would jump in the car at all costs. And then you would hear they've been cut, robbed, beat up,
right.
stabbed
right. Exactly.
From a guy that I said, ooh, I saw him earlier. He called me a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I knew not to get in the car because he's already saying some strong language before we even got going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, if they come strong like that in the beginning, like, hey, you bitch,
right.
you can pretty much tell it might get aggressive in the car.
But you're different, Tony, because you did have a full education. You did have... 10 years in the workplace, out meeting people. Some of these kids, I'm going to call them kids because
had nothing. They barely had a GED. They left. They were kicked out at 17.
And they didn't have the life experience. They hadn't met.
They had nothing to go back on. They've never
right.
worked in a regular job.
Right.
They've
right.
never hung out with regular gay and or straight people daytime.
Right. So they didn't have
a They never like went to a Christmas party where it was mixed with gays and blacks
right.
and white straights. And mingle and jingle. They didn't have that type of life experience. It's what I did.
Right.
You know,
I
had been to homes out in Fire Island and
right.
for the summer. And I had done things out in Fire Island for a week with friends of a friend who we rented the house. They had the house and they come out for 4 days and we were out at the beach. I had had those experiences as a gay man.
Right.
So that were positive to say there is hope because I've lived a good life as a gay. I just got to find a way to do so as a transgender.
Right. But you
and
also,
they couldn't lead me because they didn't have any experiences, so I had to keep searching because I had no example to follow. I couldn't say, the girl wrote that book. I'm going to call her.
Exactly.
How did she make it?
Yeah.
Right. There was no support group, so I had kind of find my way.
Right. Exactly. I really have had a lot of discussions with people. Gay people. I live in a gay world. I'll just be honest with you. I live in Wilton Manors, Florida, nearby there, and I can spend many days and not see a straight person. It's a very strange world. It's kind of like living in West Hollywood. And I have found some of the most bigoted anti-transgender people in my life inside the gay community. What is that all about?
I don't know. I had 8 good gay male friends, both black and white. When I made my change, they all left me like I had the plague.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
Of those nights when I didn't have any place to go, I called 7 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we can't let you stay the night.
Crazy. I don't understand.
And I've known you for 7 years. You can't let me stay the night? As long as you are putting that stuff in your body, I have found that statement to be true. A lot of my GLBT community can be some of the harshest people.
I agree.
To the T in transgender of the 4.
And I don't get it. I'm lost with it.
I've lived as a gay man. I lived as a gay bodybuilder. I worked up in Splash in New York in some of the premier gay clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Was loved, appreciated, adorned, tipped.
Mm-hmm.
Transgender, not 1 ounce of love. I went in there 3 years later as a transgender, and it was just as cold as ice to me and my two associates. We had a drink and realized we don't belong here, and we left and never went back again.
That's horrible. I am constantly using, I think it's GLAAD, GLAAD.org, has a wonderful page, it's several pages, on questions and answers about transgender, but also what words to use that are acceptable, non-pejorative.
For me, I'm not concerned about the wording.
I understand,
but
I want...
If you treat me with love and call me a transsexual,
uh-huh.
which is supposed to be incorrect, I'm okay with it. I'm more about how you treat me than call me a transgender. Don't call me trans anymore. There are some who are caught up on the words, but I would rather you treat me well than for me to worry about the wording. Whether you want to call me transsexual, transgender, I have some people call me, you're just a wonderful queen. Well, I'm not a drag queen anymore. I don't wear pink lipstick. But I don't get offended because I know they don't mean it in a negative sense. And they treat me wonderfully. So I'm more about the treatment than the wording because, I mean, sometimes you can get caught up on the words. And to me, it's not that big a deal. There are some transgender activists who are caught up on, I'm transgender, I'm not a transsexual.
Correct.
I'm not.
Okay.
Just treat me well with equal respect, and I'm cool.
I'm called a big old queen all the time, and I'm 6'1", hairy and muscular. So it's, you know, it's kind of like...
And one trainee said, oh, my God, he just called you a queen. And I said, well, what does that mean? I started out a drag queen. That was my beginning earlier, 14 years ago. So I was that at one time. So how can I deny that I was a queen when I was a queen or drag queen or cross-dresser 14 years ago? I said, get over that. Let's move on. They were very nice to us besides that comment. They
were
very helpful.
It's time to move on. Okay, so, here's the question. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. The question I've been dying to ask someone is, how important was it that Chaz Bono was on Dancing with the Stars this year? How important was that to
you? Well, I tell you what. A lot of people are pro-Chaz, against Chaz, but at least he puts a face to transgender on a show that's watched by 20 million Americans every week.
Exactly.
He put it out there. I was a woman, now I'm a man. And for that, the people are talking. What's transgender?
And
what's the right word?
Exactly.
What's the right word? And for that, I say hooray.
And you know, it was actually 40 million people the first night because everyone wanted to see how he was doing. But it was the whole world. And you're exactly right. Here I am. I have a face. Here is my look me in the eye.
Need visibility, and he gave visibility.
Correct.
We don't have anyone in our movies. We don't have anyone as news anchors. You have gay anchors, gay movie people, gay producers. But we don't have many transgenders on TV.
Nope.
You got Laverne Cox, Isis King from America's Next Top Model.
Right.
But, I mean, the faces are, you can name them under five people.
Correct.
Who've
been
on TV visibly. And he was on TV for almost, 7 or 8 weeks constantly, and they were talking. I don't like it. I like it. Why did he do it? And that's a good conversation. Who the hell are you people?
Who's
and
that?
I think that's great.
Right. Yeah.
I think that was a great thing. He got people talking.
Right.
I may not agree with all the politics that he has.
Yeah,
but he has his right to his own beliefs and his own ideology. But for visibility, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. At least people get to talk. At least see one of us.
Right. And
black
he
or white,
is,
male to female, female to male. Who are they? And he put a face, whether I wanted him to be the face or not. He put a face. And for that, he did a good job.
Yeah, he didn't have, you know, he had the choice of saying no, of course. And ABC had the choice of canceling it, and they were all brave, and you know, he probably made them some money because he had a big audience. But I think he was dignified. I believe that Chaz
Huffington Post wrote 20 articles about it. All the websites were cracking. Then people asked me. My book was out, so it helped me as well.
Right.
Because people said, now you are a black transgender, and you're opposite male to female. Yes.
Okay.
Tell me about you. And for that, it was a good thing. It got people talking. It got the questions out there. And I think it was a beautiful thing. He put a face that millions of Americans can see what a transgender look like.
Correct. And it looks
how they live.
Like
now,
the guy.
He's different because he comes from famous background.
Right.
He comes from money. He comes from a privileged upbringing. That's not the norm for my people.
Trust me.
Because, I mean, I come from a middle-class family from the beginning. And then went to complete poverty as a transgender. So on that note, he and most of what he did, we defer because I didn't have that, you know, famous mother, famous father. I was on TV at an early age.
Right.
You know, he's been blessed.
Yeah,
so
he has.
I think he did a good job.
You did.
Yeah,
I'm glad.
He got a good job. He did a good job for bringing light to who transgenderism is. And for
Let's say
congratulations, Chad.
And he did well for you. I want to do a little money for you. Tony's book is called I Rise. It's available on Amazon.com. It has sold over 10,000 copies. We have a huge audience tonight of over 1,000 people. I just want to tell you hi, everyone. And so I'm excited. I can't read it fast enough because I'm doing the board and talking to Tony and having like a really good time. But the book is called I Rise. Again, Tony Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N. And we're at 90 seconds, so I'm going to ask Tony the question I've been dying to ask. What would you say to a young woman who is just beginning her transformation journey?
I would say, get your GED, stay in high school, don't quit, and then find some way to go to a community college, a trade school, vocational school, and get you some type of specialized skill where you can make money and not go into prostitution, which is where most of my sistering go.
Yeah.
As soon as they put the wig on and get a little rejection, they run to now the internet and putting the ads on the websites and so forth and so on. I'm a big education person. I think education, the mind is freedom. I think quitting high school, quitting your GED, big mistake.
I agree with you. So get your education.
Go to college, go to a vocational school, makeup, design, hair, get something. Nursing
or whatever.
Is an open field, but get a skill that you can go make a living at.
Right.
so you can right. support yourself while you're transforming and not looking to clients or in sex work to
right.
keep you going, because if that goes down, you will be homeless.
That's true. Tony, we've reached the end of tonight. This was so much fun. It was the fastest 30
Thank
minutes
Thank you
of
so
my
much,
life.
Nate. I wanted Thanks. To say... Merry Christmas to all your people, and Merry Christmas to, and thank you to my editor, Kevin Hogan, my business
okay.
partner, Alton Damore, and my forward written by Dr. Mark West. I thank
okay.
them both, all of them.
Thank you, and good night. Thanks. Merry Christmas, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.